bedside, Lieutenant. The Marine Corps Code of Conduct and the King James Bible.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them!
And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery!
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled. You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby-Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting compound here at Area 52. This is the talk show Hell Hates. Let me get some lighting going here. And the more you listen, the more you know why. I don't know why I never, ever thought of this before. I guess, you know, just God says, okay, learn this today. And then like a year later, learn this. And then, you know, we're going to wait about 15 years, 20 years, and then you're going to learn this. I have no idea why it just never clicked. But I'm watching the video that I was playing before I actually go on the air. And in that, I was at Liberty Faith Bible Church, and I was talking about DNA. And I've got to find another presentation real quick. Let's see here. If I can find it, I should be able to find it fairly quickly. If not for the fact that for some reason Windows file thing doesn't search and find things very well. It doesn't. I hate it. I hate Windows file search with just huge amounts of anger just in me. It's just, I hate it. Let's see here. Is it there? You know what? That one might come in handy, so I'll leave it there. But anyway, while I'm searching for that, let me put this up on the screen here, and I'll show you what I'm getting to. I was at this point in the presentation, and I put Genesis 2:23 and 24 on the screen, and I told everybody, count the words now that Adam spoke as translated for us in our King James Bibles. And Adam said, and you don't count those because nobody ever says, and Mike says, count these words. Nobody ever says that. You count the words that Adam said, and Adam said, boom, you start counting. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, woe, man, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And, you know, I always, in Sunday school classes, and even in Bible college, the explanation was that they're too spiritually. And I hate their use of that word that way, spiritually. Well, that's a spiritual thing. It's not, in other words, it's not real. It's a metaphorical mind experiment is what they mean by the word spiritual. Well, that's a spiritual application of that, but it's not real. And, when I thought about it, having been married for several years, I went, no, that's literal. That's literal. My bones and my flesh joining with my wife's bones and my wife's flesh created our first child that has our bones and our flesh in her. She has some of my bones and flesh, some of my wife's bones and flesh. She has all of that in there. And then all of my other children following the same suit. One flesh. And when you count the words here, it's 46 words. And the miracle of that is in science, when the man contributes his DNA in the marital act, 23 chromosomes. The woman, likewise, 23 chromosomes. When they are joined together, it forms the first cell of a human baby with 46 chromosomes, and the DNA, this is the miracle of it. How the husband's DNA and the wife's DNA, how they join perfectly together to give that child the look, the character, the aspects, the features of both the father and the mother. It amazes me. It does. So I'm thinking about this. And again, I never made the conclusion, but in Solomon's temple, you're looking at exactly what those two columns or those two pillars mean. In Solomon's temple, he built on the front of the temple, he cast two bronze pillars. They were 18 cubits tall, but they had a cap on them, a chapiter. Another word for that is a capital, and it basically means a cap or a header. And those were 5 cubits tall apiece. And 18 and 5, we know, is 23. So you had Jachin. So let's say that this is Jachin. Isn't that cool? And Jachin is 23 cubits. And this is Boaz. And Boaz is 23 cubits. And Jachin and Boaz together make up the temple of God in that one flesh that the evil people of this world, led by the dragon, the serpent, that old devil, Satan, that says, oh, it's all right to destroy that temple. That's not a real temple to begin with. That's not a real human. That's not a real person. We can't ascribe personhood to a glob of cells. Oh, yes, you can if you know what their DNA has contained in it. If people would stop, and instead of just trying to promote their political cause out of ignorance, and contemplate the fact that even that first cell of the initial conception of a human child is as much human as you and I are right now, because contained in its DNA is every skin cell, liver cell, lung cell, heart cell, bone cell, hair, eyes, nose, teeth, arms, legs, you name it. Everything that that person is going to become is already written out in that cell. And that cell, when you get these when you get these liberal women who are all the time going on about, it's my body, it's my choice, you just say, excuse me, it's not your body, because that child in you has its own unique DNA. And if we were to take the DNA of that unborn child and try to match it up with your DNA, it would not match. Now, we could prove that the child is, in fact, your child. We could prove that the child is, in fact, whoever you think the father is. We could prove whether or not that's who the father is by using that child's DNA. But that child has its own separate DNA. So anyway, Solomon's temple. You have Jachin, and you have Boaz. And by the way, I think, doesn't Jachin or one of them represent strength? Adam? And the other one represent beauty? Are you kidding me? And then Moses, tabernacle. The 20 boards that go down the north side, when you turn the corner, the first three boards along the back are on the north side. The 20 boards that go down the south side of the tabernacle, at the first three boards that are going toward the north are part of the southern boards. You divide that in half. You rightly divide it. So you have 23 boards to the south, 23 boards to the north. And it's the same thing, same equation, same symbolism, same meaning that contained in both halves of this sanctuary, this holy place that God built. You have in there the book of life, written by the hand of God, written on a scroll, and written in 22 letters, because it was Hebrew, just like the 22 amino acids. And just absolute, it just stuns me. It does. I think now that's as far as I got. I don't have the New Testament, what they call Herod's temple, which was, from what I could see, was the second temple that was built after the Babylonian exile, and the Jews came back and they laid the foundation, and they had trumpets and shouting. You ought to study that. If you're interested with the rapture, the translation, study when they laid the foundation, because they blew trumpets and they shouted and all kinds of neato things happened on that day. So anyway, study that. But I haven't got that far with it. It just hit me just a couple minutes ago. Now, what else was I going to try to find for you? I am going to bring that one up because we are going to talk about that. And let's see here. Probably, naturally, Windows won't find the thing I'm looking for. What I was going to show you, let me just try to do a Google image search and just make this simpler for ye all. Let's see here. We'll do this and we'll put it there and we shall go to images.goggles.coms and, we will type in, Freemason Pillars of Jachin and Boaz. Somebody's already typed that in. So let me go to that screen. And we'll use this one. This is a perfect example. Now remember what we just said. That you have Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Steve cannot have a son or a daughter. That's stupid. Somebody showed me, I think Sunday, a picture of a, obviously what was once a woman who trannied herself into a man, but she's still biologically a woman and she's now pregnant. And of course, all the news outlets are going, first man pregnant. It's not a man. It's not a man. You could never, ever coerce a man into giving birth to a child. You can never do that. We would say, is that going to hurt? Because if that's going to hurt, I'm not doing it. There's no way we're going to do it. We can fight wars. We can get half our body shot off and we can go after the enemies and defeat them. But you can't stick us with a needle. And we can't get sick because we'll have to go into an induced coma until we're not sick anymore because we can't handle the fever and the pain and the body aches. And we certainly couldn't have a baby. Okay, we would just never do it. So anyway, that's the patheticness that this world has gotten into. But anyway, so you have Adam, you have Eve, and 23 chromosomes and 23 chromosomes, and they're joined together to make one flesh. And Jachin, then 23 cubits, Boaz 23 cubits. And they are in Solomon's temple joined together. Now, the depiction that you see here on the screen is not the biblical depiction of Jachin and Boaz. Because the biblical description of those two pillars said nothing about a globe of the earth and a globe of the stars. It said nothing about it. So we don't believe that was the intention of God. We don't believe that it was the actual construction of God or Solomon or anybody in between. That wasn't part of the original casting of the two pillars. Masonry added this so that they could link then those two pillars with their secret. When you know their secret, you can look at things like this and go, okay, I get that. I know what that says. So remember, Jachin and Boaz. Now, on Boaz, you have a globe of the earth. And so it represents, let's say this represents Eve, the female, the mother. And all the peoples of the earth inhabiting it. And let me throw this in, too. Remember a while back, I did a study on the human soul, and we found from scriptures that the human soul is characterized as a female, a woman. And when you think about that, it makes all the sense in the world, because we have the typology of Christ, who is the bridegroom, the man, and we have all of those born-again Christians who make up the bride of Christ, no matter if they're male or female. All of them represent a woman. And it's because Christ is not concerned with the flesh of any of us and its gender. He is joining himself, or he is joining from mankind the soul of man, which is a woman. In Psalm 22:20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Now, that the word darling means dear one. And, I could make a small case for what I'm saying from this word, because I think the Hebrew here is a feminine noun, okay? But let's get it in plain English, okay? Let's see, what verse is that? Soul, her. Can't remember what verse it was. Here it is, Psalm 34. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So, keep in mind that everybody's soul is a female, a feminine entity, a female. Okay? So when you have, in the Bible, when you have a woman, she's playing a character, she's playing a part to give us understanding of both the saved souls of the earth and the lost souls of the earth. Given the name, a spirit resides over all of the lost souls of the earth. We know Ephesians 2:2 says the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But we also have mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So, if we were to just take any woman out of the Bible, let's say Hannah, okay? Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Hannah, we know, was a decent woman. We also know that she was not a drunkard, and she was not a daughter of Belial. Because in the case where she went with her husband Elkanah to the temple, she was praying, and Eli the priest saw her mouth moving, but no words coming out. And he's like, are you drunk already? And she said to Eli, don't consider thine handmaid as a daughter of Belial. So we know that she's not a drunkard, and we know she's not a daughter of Belial, which everybody who is of Mystery Babylon is a drunkard, spiritually so, and a daughter of Belial, no doubt about it. So then we have the evil ones. Jezebel, that's an easy one. And Jezebel, who resides, let's say, the soul of, I've been watching a lot of these videos where people are going against their school board and telling them, look, you're putting pornography in the schools. You're guilty of contributing to the delinquency of minors, and you're guilty of trafficking pornography to children. You should be arrested. Why aren't you arrested now? See, I've been watching this, so that's in my mind. So let's say that all, and believe it or not, a majority, so far of the videos that I've seen from this one channel, most of the school board's women. Now, you take that for whatever you want, but it's just very curious to me. And let's say that all these women now are responsible for allowing all of this LGBTQ pedo stuff to be put into these public school, elementary school libraries and read to kindergarten children. Those souls, those Jezebel souls, hate the Hannah soul. They hate, well, in the case of Hannah, Hannah's adversary was Peninnah. Peninnah was like, ha ha ha, I'm having all the babies. And what are you doing? He obviously loves me more than he loves you. So Peninnah was of that Babylonian soul. All right. But let's say all these school board members that are guilty of crimes and guilty of huge major sins. Jesus himself said, anybody harming one of these little ones, it's going to be better for them that a millstone be tied to their neck, cast into the sea. And here's what's interesting. When you look in Jeremiah, that is exactly the curse that God places on Babylon. Because he says, Jeremiah wrote a book, all the evil that should come upon Babylon. And he said, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it in the midst of the river, midst of Euphrates. Boom. That's the same as what you see in Revelation 18, I think. And the same thing that Jesus was getting at. Tie a big stone around them, cast them into the water, and they'll sink. And that's how it's going to end. So anyway, the evil souls of people all over the world, and that's not just women either, but their souls are female. The collective of all of the born again souls will make up the body of the bride of Jesus Christ. I hope that makes sense. You are a lively stone, but not your flesh. Your flesh is, leave the flesh out of it. So what's left? Your soul and your spirit. You are a lively stone. The people you know that are saved are lively stones. Let's say I'm a lively stone. And one of these, and God is putting us all together. And out of all of us, we will be one body. And that body will be female, and Christ then will marry us. Now, I said all of that to get back to this. What does this mean? It is the collective souls of all of humanity that has rejected the word of the Lord. And it will be joined and married to these things. Not just one. There's a lot of them. Because there's more than one star in the heaven. Now think about what I just said. If we were to reverse this, let's say that this represents the concept of Christianity, in that God is bringing together a bride for his son. To me, that's the goal. That's the aim of everything that God does, and everything that's recorded for us in our Bible. God is searching for a woman to be his son's bride. Because remember what he said about Adam. Adam is Christ. It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him. And that, to me, stands out as the sum of the purpose of God of all the ages past, right now, and any age left in the future. God is one person by one person building up the house of God, the body of Christ, that Christ himself will marry and join with. And the two will be one flesh. Okay? So this would be us here on the earth. And instead of all these multiple stars, we would make this the sun. Because Christ is the sun of righteousness and so on. He's the bride. Oh, Psalm 19. Yes, Psalm 19. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. Oh, that. Because that's like a perfect illustration. Psalm 19. Describes what the sun is. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Isn't that something? That Christ is the sun, is the bridegroom. So let's say instead of stars here, we would put a sun here. And so this then would be why the two pillars are there on the front of Solomon's temple's porch. Jachin, strength. Boaz, beauty. And they're joined together to make one body. Because when they showed Jesus the temple, and they said, isn't this beautiful? Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. You can't say it. 40 and 6 years we were building this. Jesus said, I know. I'm the one that made it that way. I'm the one that made it take that long. No, I'm talking about the temple of my what? Body. Okay? In 3 days, I'll rebuild it. Whew. Thank you, Lord. But now, back to the masonry side of this. The reason why, when I went into the house of the temple lodge, and I noticed that there were two spiral staircases going up. In Solomon's temple, I think there's only one. But in the house of the temple lodge, you go up the staircase and you're on this platform. And then from that point two staircases spiral up. Not just one, there's two. So on one side is Jachin, and it has 23 steps. On the other side is Boaz, and it has 23 steps. And you find out that Albert Pike, who wrote Morals and Dogma, his, get this now, his dead body is buried in that house of the Temple Lodge, standing straight up to represent, I don't know exactly which one he's representing, whether it's Jachin or Boaz, but there were two men who, I don't know what the other guy's name is, you'll have to look it up to see what kind of whatever he brought to Freemasonry, but both of those men stand as the eternal pillars of Jachin and Boaz. I think I get this, because while our transformation and our marriage, so to speak, is with Jesus, who is alive forevermore, both Jachin and Boaz in the house of the Temple Lodge is dead. Perpetually dead. Forever dead. Second death dead. If you get what I'm saying there. So anyway, praise the Lord. Now, let me do this. We're going to talk about several people sent me some news out of Las Vegas concerning another UFO sighting. So consider this while I'm on this subject, and we'll move on to those. So this would be humanity here, planet Earth, and all of these stars are angels. Now, just because telescopes and scientific instruments and all of those things say, it's just a great big ball of gas and nuclear fission going on, and that's all it is. Just because they say that doesn't mean they are true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I think that if you would just entertain the notion, let's say for a few months, let's just say for a few months that you decided, you know what, I'm going to kind of forget what the scientists say about all the stars in the universe and what they're made of and, you know, what kind of classification they have and what kind of chemicals are burning inside of them and so on. I'm going to forget about all of that, and I'm just going to tell myself that stars are angels. And just entertain that thought for a couple months. And if you don't like it, and nothing ever makes sense to you ever from that point forward, especially when you read the Bible, just do what you want with it. But play along with me just for a minute, okay? Or a couple months. So this here, these two pillars represent a joining together. A hieros gamos. A sacred marriage. Whereby these stars, and actually in a lot of these globes, you'll see the constellations. There's even a tarot card called the High Priestess. Let's see if I can get a bigger one. There we go. Notice that she is empowered by Jachin and Boaz. Notice Jachin is white, Boaz is black. It's the joining of opposites together. All right, but let's go back here now. So let's say in this marriage, whereas in Christianity, this would represent Christ, the Son, joining with all of those who are born again, past, present, future. But in this case, it's the evil stars. One third of the angelic realm, which in itself is an innumerable amount. If the overall count of stars is innumerable, then one third of them is just as innumerable as the overall is. So these stars now, they're going to do exactly what they did in Genesis 6. Exactly. Because stars have DNA. You don't believe that? Well, let me ask this question. Does God have DNA? Does God have DNA? Okay, that's a big question, isn't it? If I said to you, or let's say you said to me, he doesn't, then I would say to you, how then are we born again? How are we born again? And from that point, you're going to have to make a decision in your own mind or try to convince me that being born again is simply another metaphor. That it doesn't actually mean being born of a woman coming out of her bowel. Born of a woman. It doesn't actually mean that. And that God is our Father in a symbolic nature. You would have to convince me of that. Because when I see 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And we know what seed is, right? We know it now. For the past 70 years, we've pretty much known what DNA is and how it works. So now we can't, now we live in an age where we can't get out of it. We cannot get out of this conclusion. We cannot get out of this conclusion where Jesus taught in the parable, the good seed is the word of God. And some of it fell by the wayside, was devoured. Some of it fell upon stony ground, some upon thorny ground, some fell upon good ground, and it brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. And it's seed. And we know what everything in the world that is referred to as seed, we know what it is. It's DNA. So either God has DNA literally causing us in our second birth to be sons of God. Or God doesn't literally have DNA. And this subject of us being sons of God is simply make believe. And I don't believe that. You couldn't pay me enough money to believe that. So, what about lesser spirits? Do they have seed? Well, here's a question. Does Satan have DNA? Well, now, when God was dealing with Eve and Adam and the serpent, And he said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And you'll say, well, you know, when it says his seed, you know, that's a... Say it. That's spiritual. That's like metaphorical. Why is it metaphorical when in the same sentence, and God doesn't even have to take a breath to say this, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He doesn't have to go, and between thy seed and her seed. He doesn't put a pause in there. It's the same thing. If the woman has seed, and she does. As a matter of fact, not only does the woman in the conception process contribute 23 of her own chromosomes in each egg that is formed, every human being carries a unique identifier in every cell containing DNA that links them directly to their mother. There is absolutely no mistaking whatsoever who a person's mother is. And it's called mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is just a group, a small cluster of DNA, of chromosomes, that govern the processes of the cell, that tells each part of the cell what to do with itself, how to do it, how often to do it, when to stop doing it, and so on and so on. And mitochondrial DNA, we know it for a fact, only comes from that person's mother. Only. So there's no way that any person on the earth could, that it could ever be mistaken who his mother is, that if you just sample the mitochondrial DNA and match that up with whatever woman you think is your mother, if there's a match, that woman's your mother, and there is no doubt about it. If she's not your mother, it'll show up in that mitochondrial DNA test. I love this stuff. So when the Bible says her seed, oh, it's as literal as all get out. It's as literal as politicians are corrupt. It's that literal. Okay? So why can't the serpent seed be literal too? Well, as a matter of fact, it is. So, and I'm just running this. I know some of you have heard this, but I'm just running through this just, you know, just for somebody that, I don't know, maybe have never heard this before and it's interesting you, or maybe you're out there and you want a piece of me. You know, well, stand in line. It's a pretty long line, so just wait, all right? Look at this. Man became a living soul. Imagine that. When Paul's describing the resurrection, God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And that's rule number one. Rule number one. By the way, I got a new cup. Looks exactly like the old cup without the dents. Okay? I still have the old cup, and I'm going to take it, like, to camp coming up, and places where if it gets banged up and stuff like that, I won't care because this is brand new. But anyway, God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So rule number one, if it has a body, a living body, then it has seed. To every seed his own body. That's rule number one. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds.
There are also celestial what?
Well, spirits don't have a body. That's in the Bible. Really? Where? Where is that? Where is it? Where is it in the Bible that spirits do not have a discernible form about them? Where is that written? We have been watching way too much Casper the Friendly Ghost cartoons and ghost movies where we see, you know, see-through foggy apparitions of someone, and, you know, that's the mindset now of 20th and 21st century. I said it's beyond Christianity, but that's what everybody thinks a ghost is. It's just a mist of air, and it has no form. Or here's my favorite. Well, they choose to appear in this form. What verse is that? When Abraham was met by the three men, we know that one of them was the Lord. The other two, we know that they were angels, because in Genesis 18, it constantly refers to them as men. And in Genesis 19, they're always called angels. But they're the same guys. So, these two men, angels, they sat down at Abraham's house. Abraham fed them veal. They killed a calf, a young calf, and dressed it. That means they cooked it in veggies and spices and all kinds of good stuff. And I bet that was good eating. And they drank and they ate and they got their feet washed. How do you wash a ghost's feet if it's just pass-through stuff? For everyone looking at them and touching them and feeding them and everything else, these men were men. And then when they get to Sodom, well, you know the rest of the story on that. I'm going to tell you that. Those guys were men. Okay? And the men of Sodom said, fresh meat, boys. And here again, they go to Lot's house, they get their feet washed, they eat. Everything about them appears as a normal. The Apostle Paul himself told us to be careful to entertain strangers, for we could be entertaining angels. How? Unaware. That means they could appear as men so good, we would not know that they were angels. That's cool. So, celestial bodies, remember the rule on bodies? To every seed his own body. Celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. So, bodies terrestrial. Oh, you can't see that, can you? Now you can see it. Let me do that again. Celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. To every seed his own body. Celestial bodies have seed. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. So now, the seed of the woman and the seed of the sons of God joined together. Which is what this symbol means, and this symbol means, and, oh, you got a book here, don't you? Isn't that something? This symbol means, and look at the pyramid. The pyramid has 1, 2, 3, 4 sides on it. And it represents, and it's made out of brick, which is clay, which is us. But there is this other entity. It is ether. And ether simply means from space. And they are joined together. Man. Square and compass. Albert Pike said that the square takes on the shape of a female and represents the plane of the earth. The compass represents the male, the shape of a male, and it represents the circle of the sky. We see the half circle of it at night and the half circle of it at day. And so the compass draws that out. So that represents the heavens. And notice that they are united together to form the letter G. I'm pretty sure there's got to be a Sesame Street episode and an Electric Company episode that probably deals close with this. I don't know. I'm just guessing here. But anyway, that's what all of this means. Okay, look at this one. This is the two sphinxes that are out in front of the Masonic house of the Temple Lodge. This sphinx has its eyes open. This one has its eyes closed. What does that mean? It's seeing blind. It's an opposite. They're polar opposites to each other. One can see, one cannot see. And just anything like that. Now, let's get to what I really wanted to talk about today. And you know, I've got some, let me show a video. If I can't. Yeah, let me do this one. Now, for YouTube, this is, I'm not claiming any copyright notice on this. This is fair use. I'm using it, to give commentary and or educational enlightenment about. And, if you look on the screen here, you'll see George Knapp. George Knapp is the premier journalist dealing with UFOs in the United States. I mean, this guy, I mean, this is who Bob Lazar went to. George Knapp has investigated probably thousands of UFO stories. He wrote part of the book on the Skinwalker Ranch. I mean, it's everything. But this story came out 15 hours ago, yesterday, last night. Las Vegas family claims to see aliens after several reports something falling from the sky.
It is a police call everybody will be talking about. Thanks for joining us here at 6 o'clock. I'm Denise Valdez.
I'm Brian Loftus. The family says something crashed into their backyard, prompting them to call 911, saying they saw creatures walking around.
Our 8 News Now investigators digging into this for weeks now. And tonight, our David Charnes with the video you will only see on 8 News Now. David?
Brian, Denise, sources telling 8 News Now investigators that several agencies believe something landed or crashed. Whether it was non-humans or not, it certainly scared the people living on this property. Now, before we show you that video, listen to their call for help.
There's like an 8-foot person beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes and looking at us, and it's still there.
Okay, where is this on your property?
In my backyard. I swear to God, this is not a joke. This is actually we terrified of it.
So there's two people or two subjects that are in your backyard?
Correct, and they're very large. They're okay. Like 8 foot. 9 feet, 10 foot, I don't know. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes, they have big eyes, okay. like I can't explain it. And big mouth. They're tiny eyes and they're not human. They're 100% they're not human.
Okay.
Well, the 8 News Now investigators obtaining video as officers then responded to the call you just heard. You'll see the officers also saw something in the sky that night, but the big question is, what was it, and is it all connected?
Leave her alone.
It's almost midnight on May 1st when a Las Vegas Metro Police officer's body cam catches this. Something flashing low in the sky.
911 emergency.
Minutes later,
there's like an 8 foot person beside it, and another one's inside, and it has big eyes and looking at us, and it's still there.
Someone calls 911 reporting two large figures in their backyard.
No, I'm so nervous right now.
The 8 News Now investigators obtaining another officer's video as he's sent to the Northwest Valley home.
I have butterflies, bro. Everyone saw a shooting star, then these people say there's aliens in their backyard.
By now, it's more than an hour after that bright light, officers meeting up with the caller and his family.
What'd you see?
It was like a big creature.
A big creature?
Yeah, like a long 10 feet tall.
I'm not going to BS you guys. One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky too, so that's why I'm kind of curious. Did you see anything land in your backyard? Or?
They see like a big, that's what they say. They see like a big something with light.
What I saw right now, I do believe in it.
Police walk into the backyard to investigate, but Metro blacked out that part of the video because it's considered private property. What's clear, they're taking this call seriously.
Hey, this might sound like a really dumb question, but did you guys see anything fall out of the sky?
Asking others what they saw.
I would normally discount it as nothing. However, seeing as one of my partners said they saw it too, only reason I'm actually investigating it further.
That investigation turning up no concrete answers as of Wednesday. Whatever or whoever fell into that yard, long gone within minutes.
Oh, hey. If those 9 foot beings come back, don't call us, all right? Deal with it yourself. I ain't dealing with that.
So yeah, this is quite weird, Brian was saying as we're watching this story. Now, we've been in contact with the family in that video, and as you heard in that 911 call, they seem very reasonable and honestly quite scared as you heard them in the call. No, they don't seem impaired in any way. And whatever crashed by the time that police got there was gone, but sources say that there's really no dispute. Something was in their yard. Exactly what? We do not know.
I mean, it's so interesting. So, like, the Metro officer sees something, the neighbor sees something. I mean, so what could it be?
Well, we know that there are obviously a lot of military bases around this area. George Knapp covers a lot of that stuff for us on the 8 News Now Investigators. We're showing you drone video from above that area. And we know, of course, Creech not far away, Nellis Air Force Base not far. I checked in with them. They say they are not involved at all, and we are waiting to hear from the Pentagon as well.
Hmm.
And you talk to these people, it seemed completely legitimate to you, and do you have any personal thoughts on maybe what it was?
Right, so it seems from talking to our sources that something happened. There was obviously some flash in the sky. A lot of people saw it that night on the night of April 30th, early in the morning on May 1st. Did that exact thing land in their yard? I don't know, but these people said they saw some SUV circling the area. Could this have been some piece of equipment that malfunctioned? Maybe they saw something and then someone came. I can't believe we're talking about this.
Right.
Someone came and retrieved it from the backyard in the SUV. We don't know. This all comes as a former high-level intelligence officer, a veteran, was on News Nation talking about how there is a program where the government collects some unidentified objects. So this might be that. We just don't know. We're going to work to find out, though.
And no substances. They were looking with clear eyes.
Very interesting.
Not big buggy eyes, though.
This is really unique. Thank you, David.
All right. Now, let me show you, let's see here. Let me put this up on the screen for ye. This is from April of this year, April 27th. UFO programs retrieving and analyzing crash material have come forward to spill their secrets to senior members of Congress. Now, we just saw, I mean, this story that you just saw, the video, this happened last night. You saw and heard the 911 call, and I'm sure that around the country, these 911 call centers get some of the dumbest calls in the world. Yeah, I got a Bigfoot out here in my backyard. I got him tied up. Yeah, me and my friends was out here drinking. We've been drinking probably 6 hours, and this thing come up. I'm sure they get that stuff all the time. But then you have the corroboration of at exactly that same time, a policeman on patrol in that area is talking to someone, and his body cam captures this thing going down. That's coincidental, but I don't believe it's accidental. I think they are correlated with each other. I think the officer saw, and his body cam, thank God for body cams now, and his body cam captured this thing falling down from the sky. And then shortly after that, you have the 911 call of the family reporting, hey, this thing fell out of the sky into our backyard, and there's two great big tall alien looking things with big eyes and huge mouths, and we are freaking out. Send somebody out here now. And I think at the end of that story, didn't they say that law enforcement had been out or something like that? To retrieve it, or not law enforcement, but somebody came out to retrieve whatever there was left over in the backyard. And here you have Daniel Sheehan. Now, Daniel Sheehan is an interesting guy for me. He is on my radar from several different perspectives. Number one, he is a Supreme Court lawyer, meaning that he is authorized to argue cases before the Supreme Court. Not every lawyer can do that, and he has already done that. He was, I think Sheehan was part of the Watergate thing back in the early 70s with Nixon. Sheehan also argued before the Supreme Court on journalists' absolute rights to protect their sources, because apparently a law enforcement agency was trying to get after some reporters, demanding that they turn over their sources. The reporters didn't want to do it, and so the cops threw him in jail, for hindering prosecution or whatever, and it went to the Supreme Court, and Sheehan effectively argued the case that these journalists have a right to protect their sources, and they don't have to reveal them, in most cases, to any law enforcement, and they won that case. So that's one, that's part of it. In other words, he's a very intelligent man, very well-spoken man, very analytical man. Not somebody given to wild speculation. Number two, he is a Roman Catholic, very devout, dedicated Roman Catholic. And at one time, he was attending Jesuit training school. He was going to be a Jesuit priest. But I don't know exactly what happened, but he got married. So you can't be a Jesuit. But anyway, however, he still has very high connections with the Jesuit order. That is what makes me also interested in him. As part of his connections with the Jesuit order and the fact that he has done legal work for the Vatican, for the Jesuit order. They allowed him, they knew what he wanted. They allowed him to go into the Vatican archives and look for any kind of documents, books, or anything like that relating to UFOs. He was not allowed to take in any photograph material. He was allowed to take in a little notepad and a pencil to make notes, but he couldn't take the notes with him. He had to leave the notes there. But what he did was he found, I don't know what book he found, but he found an actual photograph that the Vatican has of a UFO, and a very detailed one at that. And he was able to sketch that, not on the paper of the notepad that he had. I don't remember how he did it. He may have turned it over and sketched it on the back of the back page of it. And so when they said, you know, let us see your notepad, and they flipped through it, didn't see anything, they said, okay, here you go. He is a big believer in UFOs. He may have had encounters, I don't know. Number three, he is the lawyer that, what's his name? The guy that led the Disclosure Project and brought out all of these NASA, ex-military, government contractor men that had stories that they were swearing they would testify before Congress. This is what we saw. This is what we heard. This is what we experienced. So on and so on. And we're willing to swear an oath and testify to Congress under penalty of prison that we're telling the truth. And Daniel Sheehan was the attorney that promised these guys that if the government tried to go after them for violating their national secrets oath or their security oath, that Sheehan would defend them because this UFO thing is not covered under that, because the programs that the government runs to investigate UFOs are all off the books and supposedly don't even exist. And so Sheehan says, if they try to take away your pension or whatever, I guarantee you I can get you off of those charges. I guarantee it. So that's how they all came forward. So here's what Sheehan said. Lawyer Daniel Sheehan said he's in contact with at least six former government officials or military contractors who say they worked on UFO programs. The whistleblowers claim they worked on Roswell-style UFO crash retrieval and reverse engineering programs and have spoken to members of Congress. The attorney is launching a watchdog charity pushing for greater government transparency on UFOs. Now, here's another story. Pentagon UFO chief says UFO mothership possibly in our solar system. Sean Kirkpatrick, director of the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, wrote in a research report that an artificial interstellar object could potentially be a parent craft that releases many small probes during its close passage to the Earth on operational construct. An operational construct not too dissimilar from NASA missions, according to the Military Times. Now, there is another video that, while I have time, I want to show you. Let me see if I can find it. It would be, yeah, here we go. Let me get rid of this and this. And let's see here. This one. Here we go.
Yesterday, for example, a former Air Force officer who worked for years in military intelligence came forward as a whistleblower to reveal that the U.S. government has physical evidence of crashed non-human-made aircraft, as well as the bodies of the pilots who flew those aircraft. The Pentagon has spent decades studying these otherworldly remains in order to build more technologically advanced weapon systems. Okay, that's what the former intel officer revealed, and it was clear he was telling the truth. In other words, UFOs are actually real, and apparently so is extraterrestrial life. Now we know. In a normal country, this news would qualify as a bombshell, the story of the millennium. But in our country, it doesn't. The whistleblower's account ran on a technology website called The Debrief, which you've probably never heard of. The Washington Post had that story, but decided not to run it. The New York Times, meanwhile, just pretended it never happened. On the front page of the New York Times website this morning, there were five stories about Ukraine, as well as four stories apiece about Donald Trump, trans people, and climate change, the usual lineup. There was nothing at all about how an alien species is flying hypersonic aircraft over our cities. Not one word.
All right. So, excuse me. Let's bring some Bible into this. Why is it now that all of a sudden we have story after story after story? Not from the general public. Not from some, you know, very, very doubtful alleged eyewitness. There were some books that came out in the 50s, after the late 40s, early 50s, UFO flap, where people said that they had met aliens from the planet Venus. And they had some from the planet Mercury, and a lot of that stuff just seemed hokey. And it just, when you go back and look at it, it's almost like, well, no wonder nobody believes in them. If they read stuff like this, they would go, okay, you people are nuts. Which may have been the plan all along. It may have been the idea that we got to make anybody who says they saw a UFO, we got to make them look crazy. And so now we are still dealing with that. I deal with it. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I get, it does bother me when I would like to go to a church and put on a one night seminar and discussion on the subject of UFOs. But it, in most cases, nobody wants that. And what one night at a church, I did this, and I've sort of when I get up and give presentations like that, or, you know, things on devils and haunted houses and so on, I say, okay, this is not necessarily preaching. This is an intelligence update. Okay, you're getting an intelligence briefing from me. This is what I believe is going on in the world. But I did that at a man's church one night, and I got done. I come down off the stage, and I said, I really don't know, you know, how in the world I could ever have an altar call after a talk on UFOs. Well, lo and behold, a young lady came down to the altar without anybody saying anything. And she was just bawling her eyes out. And what it was, she was giving her life back over to the Lord, sort of a rededication. And come to find out, she had had some experiences, not necessarily with UFOs, but some very, very paranormal, supernatural experiences. And I just kind of had the thought that God was using the things that I was saying to bring whatever had happened to this young lady to mind, and God then used that to say, you need to pick side. And I guarantee you, the other side, you won't like. You won't like being on their team. And so I was very taken aback by that. I was blessed by it. I really was. But I, you know, I'm sure that there are people out there that think I'm absolutely nuts. I've seen some of the comments that people write on YouTube, and I know what some of you think. And for me to say that it just rolls off my back like water off a duck's back, I don't really care what you think of me, to say that would be wrong. I would like for everybody to take this subject seriously, simply because this, in my opinion, is about as real as it gets in fulfilling major portions of Bible prophecy. Now, let me say that again. I believe that all of the paranormal sightings, people are seeing shadows, people are seeing familiar spirits, people are seeing, I mean, some awful creatures. People are, they're seeing all kinds of things in their house, out on streets, in the woods. People are seeing things. And not just, I think you're just seeing things. No, they're actually seeing, they're actually capturing them on video. And then combine that with the sightings of, again, we're not talking about Santa Claus. No one has a Santa Claus conference where people get together by the thousands and have speakers who have written books on Santa Claus sightings all over the earth and how NASA knows about Santa Claus and clears all the airways. And nobody, we're not talking about that. We're talking about real people who have real experiences, and in some, it's like you heard that cop while ago. He said, if you see it again, don't call me. And he said it laughing. He didn't want anything to do with this. Something in him was freaking him out. And he said, I don't want to know. And there are people who have had encounters that say it was the worst thing that ever happened to them in their life. They cannot get it out of their mind. It's there every day. It chases them. It follows them. It's absolutely, it's just absolutely, they don't want anything to do with it. And so I just asked the question. I did this at Pastor Reg's church. And I do, I mentioned while I was talking there, hey, you ought to have me come do a thing on UFOs. And I know some of the people would like that, but Pastor Reg is my friend. And he has great respect for me. I have great respect for him. I would never, ever ask anybody to pressure their pastor into having me come and talk about this. I would never do that. And I especially wouldn't do it to him. And so I kind of brought it up as a half joke. I would love to do that. But if he says no, he says no. If the Holy Ghost has a reason for it. and I don't know everything. So I don't know what churches to do this in and what churches not to do it in. I don't know that. So sometimes I just got to rely upon, hey, pastor, it's your church. You know what'll go over and you know what'll fly. And in the early years of me doing this, I didn't do that. And it probably cost my reputation. There's no doubt about it. But ask the question, does God have chariots and what are they made of? And when you answer that question, you practically have the whole thing solved right then. You do. When you answer this one question, does God have chariots in the heavens? And if he does, what are they made of? And when you, with Scripture, answer that question, that's your entrance. That's the doorway that gets you into understanding what all of this is about. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Now, I've even asked the question, God, why did you say it that way? Why didn't you just say the chariots of God are thousands of thousands of thousands of angels? Or the chariots of God are without number, you know, being angels. Why did he say 20,000? My opinion is that it's based upon the number 2. And anything based upon the number 2, I think, has to do with the age of the Gentiles, and the fullness of the Gentiles. 2 days, 2,000 years. The 2,000 cubits that the Jews had to walk behind the Ark of the Covenant, which I think represents 2,000 years, that they've got to follow Christ into the Promised Land. Philip, you know, Jesus asking Philip when it comes time to feeding the 5,000. Philip, how can we feed all these people? Philip said, Lord, 200 pennyworth is insufficient. Why did he say 200 pennyworth, and why does the NIV change that to a month's wages or 6 months' wages, whatever, some kind of nonsense like that? But why did he say 200 pennyworth? Because I think that it has to do with the idea that these 5,000 here are of the 12 tribes of Israel, represented by the 12 baskets full left over that are gathered up. I like that. They gather the fragments that none be. The word was lost that he used. Saved, lost. So anyway, I think that 200 pennyworth is that time. Lord, 2,000 years is not sufficient time to fill these people. Okay, if you understand what I'm saying. But maybe 201 pennyworth is. I'm making that up, but you know, maybe after that you'll have enough to feed them. And so Jesus feeds them and gathers up the fragments, 12 baskets full, and so on. And there's just other things that when Joseph, Jacob's son, when he marries, he's a picture of Christ because he's going to save his brethren. He saves his brethren exactly 22 years after they tried to have him killed, because he was 17. And the Bible says that he was 30 when the, I love this, when he was brought out of prison and put in charge of the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of plenty. Now he's 37. It's 2 years into the famine. Now he's 39 because he's made after the law, the 39 books of the Old Testament. And then, but that makes it exactly 22 years after he was 17 years old when he had his dream about his brethren bowing down to him. So that's what I think that 20,000 represents. It's talking about the times of the Gentiles. And when that time is up, you're going to see a bunch of chariots. Each one of them is an angel. Now, let's look at, well, we don't have to do that. We have it typed in. Let's go look at a story. Exodus chapter 14. This is Pharaoh. Okay? Pharaoh, Ra the sun god, is what part of what he's named after. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "What have we done? Are we crazy? Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made him ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600. Now that number is unmistakable. It's first part of the code of the beast. 600, 60, and 6. 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt. And these chariots now, so picture in this story, these chariots being representatives of the angels that are going to be kicked out of heaven and come down to the earth. And they are going to bring this world literally into a new world order. If our government, and we already have whistleblowers who are saying it's the cat's out of the bag now. That's what I just showed you. For you to even say these things don't even exist, Mike, I would just very kindly say to you, I'm sorry that you are so far away from being right. I'm sorry. Because they are real. And you have now, why is it all of a sudden now we're getting all these stories about, number one, the government protecting whistleblowers. The government saying now anybody in the military or works for us in any capacity, if they see a UFO, we want them to report it to us. For years, you could not report a UFO if you were in the military. You would lose stripes. If at best you would lose stripes. But now they're rewarding them. And now we have Daniel Sheehan. He's ready to produce. He's got to make sure he can protect these guys. But he's ready to produce these men who will stand and testify and say, we have worked on ships that we know for a fact did not originate from this planet. We know it because the elements that they're made of and the isotopes, which means you can have an element like oxygen. Oxygen is supposed to have 8 electrons and 8 neutrons and 8 protons. Well, you can have an isotope of oxygen and say maybe have 12 electrons in the field instead of 8 like it's supposed to have. It's still oxygen, but it's a different isotope of it. And they say that there's no way that this isotope can even be manufactured on this planet. There's no way. So they know we have things that are from other places in the universe. We have no idea where they came from, but they did not come from here. We absolutely know that for a fact. And we've seen the bodies and we've seen the living ones. And that's Psalm 82. And I mean, it's right there in the Bible. Every question that can be asked about this subject is in your King James Bible. And I'll stand on that until the day I die. And while I would, you know, I'd say, I'm not ashamed of it either. Part of me says, now, Mike, don't make a nuisance of yourself at parties. But right now, this is my party. And I will UFO if I want to. All right? Good to be with you today. Thank you so much for all of your prayers. Wrong music! That's better. Thank you for all your prayers. I am getting better day by day. Getting my strength back. Appreciate that. And just continue to pray for us. Pray for the people of Kenya. Pray for our feeding ministry there. If God leads you to, help us out. We appreciate that. We thank you for your prayers. It does. It makes a big difference. Big, huge difference. Okay? I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. So we will see you Sunday.